Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With many of my colleagues, I've shared this with the chairman as well. I think he shared it with you yesterday. A majority of the council does not support this proposal as is. It's too much of on the public taxpayer dollar right now. I believe I have several colleagues, though, and I think all of us should be going into this process to try to get to a better deal, try to think through what could this look like. I think that there is certainly room to see changes to the deal that might garner the full support of the council. But as of right now, that majority is not there.
That's Charles Allen, who was on the show a couple of days back. He's a no, in case you couldn't tell. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Is this stadium deal in D.C. at RFK 2.0 going to happen? Gabe's in Kensington. What's up, Gabe? How are you? Gabe, you're on the radio. What's up? Let's go to Aaron in Suitland on the Fan. Aaron, what's good?
Yeah, I got a different idea about it. I think that since everything is so touchy and you got a couple people on the fence about it, how about starting some of the other projects like the shopping center and the shops and restaurants and all that stuff, and it'll kind of get some of the people that's on the fence kind of off the fence about it, because some of that revenue is already coming back before you're taking a major hit with the stadium. Like, what do you guys think about that?
So it's a good suggestion. The way Councilmember Pinto explained it to us yesterday was this is all part of the mayor's budget. So you don't just get to, I don't think you get to do like an a la carte thing where we go, oh, I want to build a skate rink. And so we'll take that $10 million out and just start doing that. This is basically, hey, this is what we're doing over the next calendar year. And this is a big part of that. But I think the sentiment is right where you go, okay, fine. We won't do a stadium first. We'll do it third. We still got to knock down the current building that's there, the old RFK thing. And we could start these other kind of projects right now to sort of build the nest.
Well, there's also a timeline. They're playing in 2030. That's the goal. You got to start building by 2027 and change 2028. So you don't have a lot of time. I mean, you're not building all that stuff up and then not starting the stadium. They can't just stay in Maryland with a dilapidated, falling apart, awful stadium in perpetuity, number one. Number two, you don't know. You're leaving Maryland. Are they just going to keep pushing the lease back and giving you that time? That's the other thing. The third is, let's say you open the restaurants, the bars, the stores. Now you got massive construction and dust and everything that comes along with. You ever seen a stadium get built in a smallish footprint in a downtown environment? It's awful.
Yeah.
In terms of like what it does for the surrounding area in that short term. So, you know, while you're building, so to think about a room in your house and the inconvenience, the restaurants can't have people coming and going. The waterfront isn't going to be flourishing. That all gets open when the stadium gets open, and it all kind of happens in unison. Let's go to John in Southeast D.C. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm really glad that you guys are talking about this because I live in Road 7, so you wanted to hear from some people who lived in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, please.
We wanted to hear from you, yeah.
Well, the fact is that there's a whole lot of things we can do. They're in such a big hurry to give the NFL $1 billion. I mean, a normal process is the government puts 100 acres out there and says, hey, developers, what are you going to do for us? How much is it going to cost? And just to let you know, the acreage alone, it's worth $6.6 million an acre over there. So even at 100 acres, that's like $600-plus million that we can get if we leased it to someone. So the idea that, like, this is our only option, it's our only option because the mayor came up with this option. Plus, we've really only had a few weeks to look it over. It hasn't been 30 years because no one ever thought that they'd give it up, but they did.
Well, the
and
team
at this
got
point,
them
we
to
should
give
have
it
a careful
up.
Process.
You DC wouldn't have the land without the team getting the land, but that doesn't necessarily matter now. I understand, well, but it's not like DC just suddenly got the land.
Because I think
from
we all agree
government.
That they should have control over it, but they didn't for a long time. And I think Grant's point is the team's lobbying efforts were instrumental in that happening.
They would not have it without the teams. They should have always had it. I totally agree with you.
So we should pay them $1 billion because they lobbied for us? Is
no.
that the plan?
You should pay them $1 billion because it's going to do more for D.C. than anything else you're going to put there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you say there's nothing else we can put there, like if you're familiar with the St. James and Springfield, people could actually use that in the neighborhood. That would bring a lot. And there's all kinds of development that have brought people to neighborhoods. It's just that we're not considering them because the NFL is basically holding us hostage and saying, hey, if you don't give us $1 billion, we're not coming. Well, in L.A., you know what? They didn't do that, and they didn't pay anything, and they have a stadium. So there are other alternatives that I wish you guys would look at. And look at PG County. It's not like a whole lot of development happened near that stadium. Frankly, it's been kind of a disaster for PG County. So, you know, this whole precedent that it's all going to be perfect, look at what happened in the past to get a sense of what it's going to be like. The NFL with 10 games a year does not actually generate anything near like a baseball stadium or the arena downtown. It's just not the same thing.
That's true, but using Landover is not a good comp because there's no roof. There will be way more events here, and it's a much bigger stadium. This will be much smaller. So some of the studies on while accurate, are a little bit antiquated. If you're enclosed with your roof, which this one will be, and it's a smaller stadium, you can host events that you wouldn't be able to host in an 80, 90,000-seat stadium that's open. But go ahead.
I'll accept what you're saying. And so for 300 and some dates a year, it's going to be empty, and the other dates will be something there. Well, that's not exactly a really thing. Plus, this whole cost of it, you know, it costs $5 billion in L.A. The idea that it's only 3.7, it's easy to start with the number, but at the end, it's like, hey, you know what? We're a little bit short. We need another $500 million, and the city's going to cough that up.
But
you know, that's
you
the kind of thing that
happens
to me.
That's not how the deal would work.
Appreciate you,
sign on before they get billed. If they have to add to it, then they add their money to it. I would say the same to you, and I appreciate the call. I want to hear from people over there. You're one of the folks that doesn't want it, and that's fine. Without a new stadium, I'm wondering, you do something else there. What are you going to do in that location that will generate the growth, jobs, and tax revenues? You think you have an idea? I'd love to hear it. I'll bet you it doesn't. That's kind of my point. Let's go to Josh in Upper Marlboro. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Yeah, man, this feels like bizarro world. I'm like, what? Everyone that actually lives in that neighborhood, and I spend a ton of time over there. I live in Upper Marlboro, but my best friend owns a barbershop at the far end of the A Street corridor near Bladensburg. They are thrilled for this, man. These are hardcore Redskins / Commanders fans. This was, I mean, with my text chains were blowing up. And admittedly, this is mostly African-American residents of that community. They are so excited for this. And so it just seems so disconnected.
Can I ask you a question? This is almost an uncomfortable question. But I get the sense,
sure.
When I talk to my buddies, like that guy who live over there, they don't want anything to do with it. But the few people who I know that are minorities that live over there, and I know I'm generalizing,
100%,
but they're way more excited
about
it. And I don't.
Neither of us are generalizing. We know there's a lot of different opinions, but you're 100% right. If you talk to Robbie Mason from Mason's Barbershop, if you talk to all the folks on that corridor, there is no debate here. And I tell you, like this cohort, and you know, I'm not going to get political at all, but this cohort of kind of liberal council members, this is what they do. They don't like the mayor, and so they kind of try to get concessions out of her on stuff in ways that are not aligned with the actual interests of the residents of these neighborhoods. And that's exactly what's happening here. This is nuts. This is thousands of permanent jobs and even more construction jobs at a time when the city needs jobs. This is redeveloping a blighted part of the waterfront that would have never been redeveloped before and that all of the residents over there want. This is redeveloping the Stadium Armory Metro. That's a busted up metro that needs a lot of work. And the cultural and historical significance of coming back to freaking RFK, the height of Redskins dominance. This is a home run. That's why if you actually look at the polling, it's 70%, 80%. Yes, the folks that are motivated, they're organizing to like agitate and get stuff out of the mayor. Those are the vocal ones, but the vast silent majority of this city wants the stadium, and I'm convinced of that.
What do you make A couple callers ago, I think Mo in Largo was saying, you know, a lot of the people over there wouldn't want, like, they don't need the $89 million facility for athletics or some of the stores
But you know what they need, Grant? They need those 14,000 construction jobs right now. They need hourly jobs that are paying $35, $40 an hour at a time where jobs are unfortunately leaving the city. And, by the way, you cannot. I know it's just sports, blah, blah, blah. I've spent most – that is my second home over there. I promise you, if you come by Mason's on a Friday, you will find me with a red cup in my hand. Don't tell my wife that I'm drinking over there. But all of those people are – we live and die for the Washington Commanders / Redskins. This is a massive win. Big O, Otis Gamble, my 84-year-old friend who's been there since the 60s, was celebrating when the announcement happened this week. I promise you that. And so, yes, with all respect to Mo and Largo, the people on 8th Street Northeast in D.C., on Bladensburg in Ward 7 and 8 are excited for this stadium.
Appreciate you, dude. Always informative. Listen, I it's not like I've gone up and down Bladensburg Road or East Capitol Street or
sure.
Gone door-to-door and polled the neighborhood. So, you know, I'm just trying to offer various perspectives. Charles Allen said he used his Lamborghini analogy, where if you told people, hey, I'll get you a Lamborghini. Oh, I want that. Now you have to pay for it. Maybe I don't anymore. I don't know. I think everybody in theory would like the state. I don't want to say everybody. Many people would like the stadium. Many people would like all the different things. But when now it's budget time, hey, your taxes will go up by X, or this sales tax or this parking revenue is going to this person. Or, hey, the team's only going to pay $1 an acre when it's worth, you know, millions for X number of years. You still okay with it? Then it may be a different answer
but
or not. I don't know.
Taxes are going up for whatever project goes there.
I think this is the central point that
the
I would have.
The idea that their taxes are just going to stay the same when they build the wharf is not correct. And I don't know. I don't want to generalize. But you're probably not going to use the wharf as much as the sports facility and the fields and all the other stuff that they're going to be doing over there, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you just go out and eat dinner on the wharf all the time. I guess that's possible. But it would be true, I think, if you could say, this is what you're paying X more dollars than you would to have a stadium. I just think that the math is not correct because you're paying X more dollars anyway because something's going there.
Yes, and so that's the response I was going to offer to, I guess, the argument that I was making up from the hypothetical person that disagrees. It is, there's always going to be a trade-off. If you would like a new thing, you're going to pay for it to have an incentive. I'm just making up a company. Let's say you want to put a Walmart there. Totally fine. To attract Walmart to that location where it's pretty expensive land, as the couple callers ago pointed out, you need to give Walmart some incentives. Some of those incentives might look like tax incentives, but that money doesn't just disappear. That's going somewhere. The this cost blank to make up the budget shortfall. You know who's filling in the blank? You, Resident Randy. And you may not notice, it's probably 3.5 cents or 4.5 cents or 17 cents on your W-2 at the end of the year, but everybody's going to do it. So my point is, and I think you just addressed this very well, anything new is going to cost you. Anything new is going to cost you. And if you want the new thing to specifically not be a football stadium, I totally understand that. But my point is, no matter what they do over there, the cost is being passed on to you, the citizen.
And there are a lot of people, by the way, that are just of the opinion that you cannot give 1 cent to a billionaire or just 1 cent to a team. And that, to me, that could be your prerogative. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not mine because you're going to get a benefit. I believe the mayor is on the line right now.
Oh.
Mayor Bowser is listening and calling us. Is this actually Muriel Bowser?
This is Muriel Bowser. How are you guys doing?
Madam Mayor, hello.
Very well. Thank you for calling us. I don't know if you know anything about what we're talking about.
Have you been in touch and all this stuff?
A little bit. Yeah, I got in the car. I'm headed uptown to a meeting, and I just wanted to chime in because I love the presentation, but like so many economic development projects, there's a lot of misinformation, and we're looking forward to getting people all the information that they need. But the one thing that I have to say, I heard one of the members of the council who is opposed to this project, was opposed to it before anything was announced, is opposed to having an NFL stadium there at all, say that a majority of the council members don't support it, and that is false. He and one other council member have registered that they will vote no. And all other council members are working with us and the team to get the information that they need. We've been keeping them up to date for weeks about how negotiations were going, and they're very excited for the opportunity.
Madam Mayor, what are people getting wrong when they're rebutting things in public, or you know, trying to argue against certain points or otherwise? You mentioned misinformation, and listen, we're sports guys. We're good at talking about linebackers and right wingers on the hockey team.
Yep.
What are people missing here that you'd like to correct?
Well, the biggest thing that I want to correct is that this is going to be one thing or the other. I think people have in their minds the current RFK Stadium and the sea of parking that surrounds it. But what we're proposing is a vibrant, vital, mixed-use development with a built-in anchor. So there are going to be five separate districts, arts and entertainment district, the stadium district, Kingman Park, where we think we can build up to 5,000 to 6,000 units of housing. There's going to be 30 acres of park space, and there's going to be the opportunity for us to have our own indoor sportsplex where our children, who now go out to Maryland and Virginia for indoor track and gymnastics and cheerleading, will have a world-class space for themselves that the district is going to build. So these are all of the opportunities. But here's the other thing that I think is the big missing piece, and that is that you just snap your fingers and 180 acres is developed with housing. It doesn't happen that way. What housing providers need is they need a catalytic anchor to get a site like that going. And having a built-in anchor that's bringing $2.7 billion in worldwide expertise is the jump start that this site needs. Without it, in 2030, we won't have a vibrant stadium that's generating revenue. What we will have is a slew of community meetings talking about what's going to happen there and the hope that it will deliver in the following 10 years. So the time for RFK is now. I heard some thoughtful comments about why don't we wait or why don't we try this first. We don't have that opportunity. We come to terms with the team, or the team is going to have to find a new location.
The $1.1 billion figure in terms of what you guys would be spending, am I correct when I say, based on the way I saw the presentation, that money is not building the stadium? The team is building the stadium. You guys are spending money around it on things that are going to benefit D.C. Is that fair?
We're building the horizontal and roads, sportsplex, infrastructure like sewer and water. And by the way, we would do that regardless of anything that's there. That's what we're doing on the St. Elizabeth's campus. That's what we're doing at Walter Reed. That's what we're doing next door at Hill East. And Hill East is kind of a good example of what could happen if we don't have a catalytic anchor to kickstart the project. We have, you know, great vacant parcels at Hill East right now that are developing very slowly, getting interest from the private sector, getting the capital investment that's needed to start the affordable housing is going slowly. We still have 30 acres there. So the last thing that any of us wants, I certainly wouldn't. I know that Councilmember Felder from Ward 7 doesn't want to see in 5 years from now nothing having happened at RFK. Now we have the opportunity to get this approved. We can make the investment in this budget. And to break down the money, $500 million will go towards the stadium infrastructure. Another $356 million is for parking infrastructure. And the other $202 million is for our roads, and $89 million is for our sports complex. Now, just contrast that to all of the other stadium investments we've made, by the way. We've invested public money in every stadium that we have in Washington, D.C. The Nats Park, for example, is a $600 million stadium. You know how much the Learners paid towards it?
4%, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. We paid over $600 million at the end of the day for that stadium. In today's dollars, that would be over $1 billion and almost a 100% investment in the stadium. That stadium has helped kick off development around it, create a new neighborhood, and pay off its bonds in less than 10 years. We just invested $515 million in Cap One Arena, and that's on top of what we invested when Abe Poland and Marion Barry made the decision to build it. Again, a huge public investment in infrastructure, in modernizing the building, and on top of the infrastructure and parking support we provided all of those years ago. So we have a great track record of this city in putting our public dollars to use and turning around great jobs.
Mayor Bowser, I want to ask you a question about something you mentioned. You talked about parking. I believe the figure you quoted was $356 million. The 8,000 parking spots are mostly going to be garages. We had Charles Allen on, who's obviously you know this, but for our listeners, a council member on who's against the stadium. This is what he said. This is a quick clip, but I want you to respond to this.
We would not only pay to build them, we would own them, and then under the terms of the deal, the Commanders get all the parking revenue from it, from the parking garages that we build and own. That's what I mean when I say this is a bad deal. It's a bad deal for the city right now. There's a lot of elements. If this is something that's going to happen, a lot of this has to change.
So he said the parking is this non-starter based on the terms of the deal. What's your reaction to that?
That he doesn't understand complicated municipal finance and infrastructure finance. That's all that says to me. What it says is that that revenue wouldn't exist but for the stadium. And so we use revenue that wouldn't exist but for projects all the time to finance those projects. It's a very common tool. And so what else would he have us do than use the money generated on the project to make the project financially feasible?
Madam Mayor, another concern that was addressed, or I've seen a bunch in tweets, and whether it was various council members that we've had on, have said there's nothing included right now in the upfront about metro expansion that's probably needed there to accommodate folks that would be coming to such events. Just A, what can you how would you respond to that? And B, what's in the plans there to accommodate the flow of traffic?
Well, let me remind you that the Washington football team played there for 35 years with the existing transportation network, highways, metro. The difference is now people have many more options to get to the RFK site, biking, bus, walking, scooting, you name it. We have it in Washington, D.C. So we certainly are analyzing the flows, but we think that the station at Stadium of Armory can accommodate it. Now, I also think, and this has been talked about for more than 20 years, when the site is fully built out and has the full number of housing units, the AWC, our Anacostia Waterfront Initiative, AWI, I should say, envisions that we have to take a close look at that metro. But that's not a day one issue. That's a full build-out issue.
So I kept asking, and the two folks we've had on that were, I don't want to say no in the case of Mendelsohn, but he certainly was a maybe-leaning no, and then Alan, who said it's a no for him for now. Both of them I asked, I said, hey, what could you put there that does more to generate revenue, taxes, jobs, those things? And I'm still kind of wanting that answer, but I guess my question to you would be, one of the things Alan said is, we've proven we don't need a stadium as an anchor. He points to NOMA. He points to the Wharf. What do you say to that?
I was at a meeting yesterday with that Charles was also attending in NOMA, and I pointed out to him and everybody gathered there that the district government has been a huge investor in NOMA. We put the first $50 million in the NOMA infill station. We have money in our budget right now to add another entrance to NOMA. We have government leases throughout NOMA. We put $60 million just to create parks in NOMA. We acquired and fixed the Dave Thomas Circle in NOMA. Adjacent to it at Union Market, we used $175 million of public money to finance parking. It's just not true that the government doesn't kick start projects with public investment. Some of those are in the form of big catalytic catalytic investments like the stadium, and others come in other forms of public dollars that make it feasible for these projects to go. The Wharf has huge public investment, and the Wharf does have an anchor. The Wharf has the Anthem that brings thousands of people up there to shows all the time. So Charles Allen's ward has enjoyed a lot of public investment, including two stadiums that he supported very recently, public dollars going to Audi Field. We acquired it and we built the horizontal development just like we are proposing here. It's not fair to the people of Ward 7. It's not fair that they've waited their turn, and now certain people who are already opposed are trying to spoil the rest. But I don't want to concentrate on Charles Allen, because there's nothing that we could say about this project that's going to satisfy him. I want to concentrate on the benefits to D.C. residents and the future that we want. In 2030, we want to be going to a vibrant field that's generating jobs and revenue, not talking about plans that may or may not materialize. I've taken up a lot of your time. Thank you for having me. Keep the conversation going, and we'll be out in the community answering all these questions.
Well, we appreciate
Thank you,
the
Madam
call.
Mayor.
You know where to find Thank us. You. Thank you for hopping on.
You bet.
There's Mayor
Bye-bye.
Bowser, kind enough to call in. So that was very nice.
How about that?
It's funny. We're sitting here debating what's going to happen over at the site. And we're like, the mayor has to think about this and do that. And then Toby gets in my ear. Mayor Bowser on line four.
I'm like, okay, cool prank call, right. Toby. Nice job.
I said, who's on line four? Why is someone going by Mayor Bowser? That's a really weird way to try to get on the radio. He's like, no, the actual mayor.
She goes to the front of the line.
Okay. If you've been on hold, you'll have to wait. It's the mayor. Grant and Danny, what'd you guys think of that? 800-636-1067. But many of you want to hop in. I'm seeing a lot of people from that Ward 7 area on hold that want to discuss their feelings on a stadium. So let's dive into that on The Fan. Thanks to Mayor Muriel Bowser for calling in. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Next time I relive this life, if I plan on getting into sports talk radio, I'm going to try to have a little bit more of a background in local politics.
You didn't think you'd need it when you signed up.
It would have helped me over the last few years. I feel like between Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Leonsis, and now this, just you can't get away from it.
So at the beginning, when everyone's just spouting off, you're like, actually, procedurally for the council, it's part of the it's a line item in the budget. What needs to happen is the executive committee at the I'm like, man, that's not what we do.
We're so close to a stadium in D.C. I know this is not the correct way to argue this.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, D.C., nation's capital. The Washington now Commanders, but Redskins. There shouldn't have to be a lot more said, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that complicated. We went through this with the Caps and the Wizards leaving D.C. for Virginia when I just thought that was the better deal because Ted couldn't get the money. Yes, the team should be in D.C., period. There's one spot for it. It happens to be the site where they were at their apex, where many of our listeners and their dads and grandparents went to games. Figure this out. Make it work for everyone. And you just can't convince me it's not a good deal. It's a lot of public money. It's a record amount of public money for an NFL operation. I understand that. Percentages. That's how marriage, right? Compromise. How much are you giving? How much am I giving? 76% private, 24% public. That's way better than a lot of us thought a year or two ago. This is not a bad deal. Let's go to Robert in Northeast. What's up?
Hey, Granddaddy, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, buddy.
Of course, the mayor stole some of my thunder and the caller before the mayor as far as our community. I live maybe 10-minute walk from the projected site.
Oh, wow.
My whole, oh, my goodness, I want to say a mile or two radius around. Everybody wants that stadium. I haven't heard nothing negative about it. The Redskins / Commanders are the number one seed in Washington, D.C., you know, and it's like you put all this money up for the Nats and Audi Field and Capital One. Come on. I think it's only fair that you put it up for the Commanders. From what I understand, the 24% of public money is on the low end compared to places like Vegas and SoFi, and them they had put up like 60%.
Yeah, it's the lowest. Money. How much would you, and you mentioned just talking to people around you in the neighborhood, what have you, how much would you use all of the things over there that would be coming if this project gets completed?
Everything. My children are grown, but my grandkids, we will be there on a regular.
Appreciate
so,
you.
I don't really understand, you know, all the uproar and maybe the mayor not being transparent with the council. I kind of think she is, but I think once they sit down and, you know, gather the facts and come up with some figures, it'll be a done deal.
Let's go to Gabe in Kensington. Gabe, you think they're going to finish what they've started here and get this done?
I do. I think the mayor just knocked it out of the park. I mean, and I don't think the two sides are that far apart. The proponents of the stadium have been really thoughtful in thinking through all of the issues that the opposition might have. And I thought the council member yesterday did a really great job enumerating all of those components. And I think it's just a lot of political posturing that's going on right now, people trying to get concessions. But at the end of the day, I think this deal gets done. And by the way, you guys are doing a great job covering this. I'm a council member in Montgomery County, and you guys now know the difference between a capital and operating budget. And it is
against our
will. Yeah, don't quiz us, Gabe.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if that's the ratings driver that you know, Jaden Daniels or Drake May might have been, but yeah, we're learning things we didn't anticipate.
Should next time we have a prize to give away, let's do capital or project budget.
Where is Clary explains it all when you need it? Let's go to Tom in Cayman Park on the Fan. Hey, Tom.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
So I just will speak for everyone in the neighborhood, especially the 300 block of 17 Place, and it's a very diverse block. We have younger families, folks who've been there a while, every kind of skin color. We all want it. We all want this deal to go through. So this narrative that...
Why is that? If you could explain that.
Yeah, it's everything besides... I mean, the stadium will be great. Listen, I grew up going to Redskins games. We had season tickets, and it's a lot of fun. But it's everything else that this deal is going to bring. It's the restaurants, right? It's the shopping. It's having a grocery store to walk to. You know what's not fun at 6 o'clock at night on a Thursday? Driving across town to take your kid to gymnastics practice. Like, that's not pleasant. You're trying to get across the city. It takes an hour. So I think for us in the neighborhood, it'll be great to have the team, and, you know, it brings back a lot of fun memories, but it's everything else that it will bring to the neighborhood. That's what everybody's in the neighborhood. That's what they're excited about. That's what we want.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I could think of for total detractors of it is the value of the land is so crazy, and DC got it for nothing, that if you just somehow built this magical, whatever it is, and just collected rent, you might do better financially because it doesn't cost you anything. The point that the mayor's making and the point that a lot of folks are making is that catalyst thing that brings everyone there. If it's not a stadium, it's a Walmart or it's something. Like, so there's no free lunch here, right? That's the thing I kind of keep coming back to. And that's not enough to convince you. I totally understand that. But I think that's the central point for me.
I can understand not liking parts of the plan when Charles Allen talks about parking and not generating revenue because the team gets it or whatever. I understand frustrations with elements of it. But as you hear from some of the people like that caller, I can't wrap my head around not thinking this would be a win for D.C. at a time where jobs are leaving, people are not returning to the city for work, financials are not what they were 10 and 15 years ago. How could this not be a victory for the city? 800-636-1067. We're taking thoughts from both sides. If you got them, G&D on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:15 on Grant and Danny. Nats baseball tonight on the Fan. 6:45 for the Nationals and the Phillies. The Caps are on to round two. They beat Montreal in Game 5, 4-1 series, 4-1 game. Great atmosphere last night downtown in D.C. Thousands of people went into the city from Virginia and Maryland, ate at restaurants, hung out at bars, patrons in the community. Now, Grant from Virginia was there. I was spending money in the city yesterday. I think I'm allowed to do that, right? That's okay.
It's fine with me.
Grant from Virginia to come across the river, and I work here. I pay some taxes here, so I don't know if that means I get to have an opinion or not, but give me a football stadium. I would like one of those in the nation's capital. Danny, do you think this gets done? I'm saying 80% chance it happens.
I do think it does, and I think it's almost procedural as much as it is anything else, right? Where it, from what, again, council member told us yesterday and the mayor told us, she's more confident that she's got the votes already than Mendelsohn and Charles Allen were. But also, it's more line item in a budget as opposed to individual proposal that we're going to vote yay or nay on. Right. So they're going to be budget tweaks. There's going to be pushback. That's normal. That's normal cost of not cost of doing business. That's normal procedure where I go, Grant, we have $1 million show budget. And you go, well, let's make it $958,477. I go, what about 1.1? And we go back and forth. That's a normal part of it. So I think we're further down the road than we've been before.
So I haven't thought a lot about the timing of all of this, but what the mayor said, and she called in this past hour, you should podcast it if you missed it, thefandc.com. Mayor Bowser, line 4, was not a hotline, not a guest line. Just in the car calling in, which is funny. But one of the things she said that I found interesting was this idea of, and we had a caller, she heard, I think what compelled her to call was saying, it's too rushed. The NFL's got a stranglehold on D.C., and we got to just think about all the plans. Her point is, it's now or it's not happening. The team is moving. They need to have a new stadium in 2030. They're either going to be building in Maryland, and PG County is going to get all the benefits, or D.C.'s going to at this site. So the decision's got to come. And I know the team has put a timeline on the city, which they don't love very much, some of the council members, which is you got a few months to figure this out, but by July we want to know what's what here. And my point is, I know it takes forever to do everything, but sometimes you got to make moves. So either it's going to be you or I'm moving on. Prom's in a couple of weeks. I got to know if you want to go. Let's go to Kat, who's in Woodbridge on G&D. How are you?
Hey, really happy to be talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
So I used to work at RFK while it was still alive and well, back when we were still hosting DC United there, and I still currently work for DC United at Audi Field. So I think anyone who is against this new stadium, I would like them to take a look at that area of Nats Park and Audi Field and see all of the housing that has been built ever since, you know, that new stadium was built there, as well as some of the new businesses that have come through. And I also want them to think about the fact that DC was not selected as a city to host a World Cup game because we lack the infrastructure currently to host an event of that size that is meant to welcome a lot of foreigners as well and a lot of tourists. Not only that, but aside from the construction jobs, we also have to think about having this stadium is going to generate a lot of game day jobs. So, you know, people fresh out of high school, they can work as guest experience as their first job here. And that's already helping the community a lot.
So what would you say real quick to those that would say, hey, there's no way to get that many events? Like,
that's the big argument, you know, comparing, like you're saying Nats Park and Audi to the NFL stadium, right? At Nats Park, they have 81 games. At Audi, you've got the Defenders, you've got the Spirit, you've got DC United and whatever else is there. So there's all purpose between the two. Let's say there's 150, 200 events here. There might be 25 to 50 events that have major scope. What would you say to that?
I would say look at some of the other NFL stadiums and the kind of events that they've been able to host. I mean, SoFi had Taylor Swift, right? So I think when we have grand stadiums like these that could potentially be built to have concerts, to hold, you know, big names, that's already really good for business.
Totally.
And not only that, we also, you know, at Audi Field, it's a pretty small stadium. You know, we can only sit maybe 20,000 people as it currently stands. And we still host a lot of international teams. We have a lot of not only, you know, the FIFA Club World Cup is coming through, and we're hosting some events at Audi. And sometimes we get some of these international teams like Arsenal, Juventus, you know, Bayern Munich, all of these teams that have big fan bases here in D.C. and the DMV area, but could also draw fans from other areas to come through. You know, Arsenal has played a few games in other states, and my brother and I, we are big fans. So we travel out of state just for a chance to go see this foreign team that we may never get the chance to see ever again.
Yeah, that may not be coming here. It's a great phone call. We appreciate you making it. I think that argument to me is one of the best that she made, which is that it is inexcusable that we couldn't get a World Cup here, right? And in 2031, the Women's World Cup would almost certainly be here at this stadium in its second year if this thing gets built. But the World Cup said no to D.C. because that Northwest Stadium's not good enough, essentially.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Really? The nation's capital? Like the amount of soccer they could have, I think, could be significant. This is always the number one market for television ratings for the World
Cup. It's such a good point. It is. Yeah, for whatever reason, I mean, it's here. Richmond's always on the list when we talk about per capita, but this is one of those people might be coming here anyway, but then you compound, like if it's an international event like that, the Juventus fan, the Bayern Munich fan, as she was kind of pointing out. I mean, we went to an event. I'd never heard of this team beforehand, but we went to a DC United versus Celtic game because this is the only time you're going to see Celtic on these shores, and it was a must-do thing. So those kind of things happen, and they could happen there at that facility potentially.
I would love to know what the actual number of events would end up looking like. Because it's 100% not going to be the 200 that was in that.
Yeah, I
PR
think that's
packet.
Ludicrous, frankly.
Like, that's crazy. But it's not that much more crazy than saying it'll only be 10 times that people are going to that stadium. It's going to be closer to 10 than 200. But if there's 40 or 50, again, it's 65,000. There's on average, I go to Nats games when they announce 12,000 people. You know what I mean? I go to Defenders games when there's 7,000 people there. 65 times 10 is still 650,000 people. So if you're looking at the number of people pouring into the neighborhoods, I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but like that's got to be part of the dialogue as well. Grant and Danny with you, taking you up to 615 on the Fan.